Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. The COVID-19 shutdown in March and April stopped some work in California forests, but an effort to reforest the area of the 2019 Walker Fire has continued, with tens of thousands of seedlings having been planted, even in the midst of the pandemic. Joining us to talk about this work is Angela Avery. She is the executive officer for the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. Hi, Angela. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Thanks for having me.
And Brad Graves is joining the conversation, too. He is district manager for the Feather River Resource Conservation District. This is in the Sacramento Valley. Hi, Brad. Glad to have you with us as well.
Glad to be here, Beth.
So, Angela, I suppose this could be considered then the COVID grove in the Plumas National Forest. Why was it so important that this work go on during the shutdown?
Well, I think that we can all agree that, you know, healthy forests are critically important to the state of California for the variety of benefits that they provide, from, you know, carbon storage to watershed resilience and recreation opportunities and so forth. And, you know, the Moonlight Fire that took place on the Plumas National Forest and the Walker Fire were huge fires that had pretty devastating impact. And it's our perspective that, you know, the sooner you can get those severely burned areas restored to forested landscapes, the better able you are to prevent those from converting to shrubland. So really important for the work to keep going, but to go safely in the context of this COVID crisis.
Had the project already begun as counties and then states started to close down? And if so, there must have been a meeting, some decision-making, or that moment when somebody had to say, we can't shut this down.
The work had begun, well, at least in terms of some of the environmental work that needed to happen under the Good Neighbor Agreement that the Sierra Nevada Conservancy entered into with the Plumas National Forest. And I think Brad could give you a little bit more detail on how far some of the actual restoration work went.
Well, in fact, Brad, you were the one responsible literally for this 180,000-some seedlings, weren't you?
In effect, yeah. My staff and I and, you know, our partners at the Plumas National Forest as well, we'd gotten into the project work barely when the COVID shutdown happened, and we did have to come together and be pretty nimble and make some quick decisions to be able to continue to move forward on this work.
There were some dramatic moments, though. I understand there was like a middle-of-the-night drive or something. Tell me about this. What happened?
With COVID coming in during the heat of this project, essentially, we kind of had to reinvent almost every aspect of it. And one of those aspects was the delivery of the seedlings from the nursery. And so shipments were not going out at the time, but we had the means to move trees safely up to the project site from down in the valley. And so we did so just to keep the project moving forward. We were laughing about it the other day, and I called one of Sierra Nevada Conservancy's project partners that we work closely with on my way up after I'd driven down at 3:30 in the morning and was headed up the hill at noon.
So how many of those thousands of seedlings are now planted?
Essentially all of them. We planted 140,000 seedlings this year.
Angela, can I go back to you on that point? Because there has been criticism from the Trump administration and the president himself about California and its management of forest lands. And the discussion, of course, in the state and in the West is about the density of our forests. So would you put that number, 140,000 seedlings, into some context and tell me about guidance now for the density of replanting?
Well, I think that number is a drop in the bucket of what, you know, needs to be done. But I think the bulk of the work really probably should focus on thinning some of the overly dense forests that are on the landscape. I think that just generally speaking, that's a focus that the SNC embraces, right? We have a program called the Watershed Improvement Program, which is a holistic effort that is being implemented across the Sierra Nevada with a variety of partners, federal, local, others, to improve the overall resilience and health of forests across the landscape. And it's our region, the region that we serve, is 25 million acres. So it's a huge landscape. And that's not to say that every acre on that landscape needs some kind of action, but having the goals of resilience and trying to work across state, federal, and local partnerships to improve the overall health of those landscapes, I think, is really important. And it's a big job. It's a really big job. There's a lot of work that needs to be done and a lot of opportunity, I think, especially in the times that we're facing now, of the fiscal and financial economic impacts of a COVID-19 world. There's a lot of opportunity to keep people working to improve those forests for all the benefits that they provide.
That's Angela Avery. She's the executive officer for the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. I'm also talking with Brad Graves, district manager for the Feather River Resource Conservation District in the Sacramento Valley. So, Brad, what is the distance of planting seedlings? What are the measurements that you use? And as Angela's talking about the emphasis being on thinning, is it different now than it was in forests that are already existing and mature and maybe the focus of thinning?
The density of planting has definitely been changing over time. So specific measurements are different based on a number of factors and your anticipated survival of the trees that you planted. So essentially you want to end up with a healthy forest at the end of the day. And so you have to take a lot of those variables into account when we're talking about specific, planting design. But overall, yes, I'd say that the design has changed from creating, as many trees as you can per unit of land, as, forestry once was, to creating resilient, healthy forests.
I understand that this does differ, too, based on the type of tree that you're planting. In this particular area, and I don't know which of you is best to answer this question, the Moonlight Fire scar area had been replanted, and I think some of that, or at least all of that area, burned again in the Walker Fire. Is that correct?
There are portions of the Moonlight Fire footprint that burned again in the Walker. Yes, that's true. And some of the plantations that are in both fire footprints, survived. And the fire kind of thinned them out a little bit. And others obviously did not survive. But, there's going to be a continued struggle to keep our mountains forested.
So, U.S.
And Beth,
go ahead, Angela. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, fire is a natural part of the Sierra Nevada landscape. And so good fire, fire that burns at low intensity, has beneficial impacts on across the landscape. It's like I said, part of the natural way those forested landscapes work. And so our goal is to make sure that when fire does burn in the Sierra Nevada, it burns in a beneficial way.
If I look at the partners in this and this project having been essentially completed, it seems that the collaboration was quite positive between U.S. Forest Service, the federal groups, along with state and local agencies and conservation leaders. Am I reading that correctly?
You absolutely are. I think this particular project is a really great example of how collaboratives across state, federal, and local groups can have a really beneficial impact on the landscape. Not only were we able to sort of respond on, at the drop of a dime to make sure that the work continued, but we're able to support each other in filling gaps between, abilities and availabilities as we were trying to sort of respond to the need.
So, Brad, can I pick your brain for a few more statistics? If it was 140,000 seedlings, how many acres did that cover, and how many people over how much time did it take to complete this?
Yeah, so 140,000 seedlings went into approximately 542 acres, and it took a little over 2 weeks for about 13 workers to plant all those trees.
And we are in this reopening time right now, and jobs are shifting. Is there a need for workers? Is this something that we should make sure to point out right now, that there are jobs in forestry for people?
Absolutely, yeah. That's been a struggle that we have had in this time, is even just staffing. There's definitely work in forestry, and I don't think that need is going to go away anytime soon.
Okay, where does someone begin then to try to explore that kind of a job? Either Brad or Angela, what's your suggestion?
I'll take that, Angela.
Okay.
So from my side, I would say that talking to folks in your area that are doing that work, having a conversation to see kind of what their story is. I think everybody who has worked in the forest has got a little bit different path, and I don't think there's any one correct path, but there are lots of ways to get into forestry work, definitely.
All right, we will post a couple links to both the Sierra Nevada Conservancy as well as the Feather River Regional Conservation District. And I do want to know about wildfires so far this year in California, what we're seeing and how this year compares to last year. Earlier in the year, we were running quite a bit ahead of last year. Are those numbers that you have available, Angela?
I don't have the specific numbers on fires across the state of California, but I can say, and I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, this year in the Sierra Nevada, we've been really lucky. I'll also caveat that by saying that we're still early in the year, in the fire season. Last year, we were pretty lucky, too, as a result of the amount of precipitation we got in that preceding winter. I think it's important to note, though, that, you know, in the Sierra Nevada, things change really quickly. And over the last decade, I think the Sierra Nevada has set a number of wildfire records. More acres have burned along the west coast of Sierra Nevada over the last decade than any other decade on record. And, of course, we saw the deadliest fire in California history, the Camp Fire, in 2018. So we're experiencing some pretty high temperatures right now. That has us, I think, all of us who live and work in the region, holding our breath a little bit, and we're hoping that the good work that people are doing across the region and the good work that CAL FIRE has been doing to protect communities holds strong and ensures that we're safe in this next fire season.
Okay. Any final thought from you, Brad, on that same topic of this wildfire year?
I'd just echo what Angela said, and that we've been pretty lucky, and we'll keep our eyes open as we're moving forward through this year. Only time will tell.
All right. We have been talking specifically about the Moonlight Fire and the Walker Fire in the Plumas County area and the Plumas National Forest, but these type of projects continue. We'll post some links and some photos. I appreciate the conversation from both of you. It's so interesting to find out all of what has or hasn't been happening in areas we wouldn't have even thought about in the midst of this pandemic. So take care, and thank you both for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's Angela Avery from the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. She is the executive officer, and Brad Graves is district manager for the Feather River Resource Conservation District in the Sacramento Valley. You can find links at capradio.org/insight. The uplift is next. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.